steward. I pray that we'll have a good day and that service will go good. In Jesus' name pray, amen.
Amen, amen. Good morning. Welcome to everyone on the broadcast today. Come on, praise the Lord with me this morning. Amen. You may not normally stand for streaming worship. Amen. But if you're expecting something from the Lord today, would you stand just for a moment? Amen. And give praise and honor to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. From your home, wherever you might be, amen, let us just stand for a moment before the Lord and give him praise. Father, we just praise you in this house today. We just acknowledge you in our own home. We thank you for your presence here, Lord. We ask that you would just forgive us of our faults, that you would forgive us of our thoughts that are not of you, those actions that do not reflect your image. Guide us this morning, O Lord. Guide us through your word. Allow it to speak to us. Allow it to be spoken plainly in a way that we can understand. Lord, come into this moment with healing that we so desperately need. We rest in your arms, Lord Jesus. Send forth thy deliverance and thy salvation. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. But I encourage you this morning, receive the healing that is yours. Receive the healing that is available in this moment. Amen. Receive the healing that's available in your own house. Amen. There's deliverance for those that call on the name of Jesus. Amen. God made it plain in John 3:16-17. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe on his name, will you believe on him today? You should not perish, but have everlasting life. God came to send his son to give us life, and not just life here on earth, but life eternal. Amen. It said that he sent his son not into this world to condemn us, but that through him, this world would be saved. Amen. There's no trick. There's no 12-step plan. There's simply the word of God speaking life towards you. Amen. God's purpose and his plan, it's not hidden from us. He gives us the answer in a few short words, and the answer being Jesus Christ. Our charge, our response is that we must believe. The conviction is whether we would still continue to believe what's available for us in this world, what we can see and touch, more than our God, the one who created the heaven, the earth, the sea, and everything that in them is. Who would you believe today? Amen. Salvation is yours in this one verse. No certificate in theology is needed. But will you believe this morning, right in your home, on the bus, in your car, wherever you might be, you might even be in the hospital this morning, will you believe the word of God that was sent for you? Will you believe that healing and deliverance is available and is at hand? But you say, there's no one here. There's no one here to help me. There's no one here to save me. There's no help on my side. But even Jesus, when he saw the paralyzed man at the pool of Bethesda, he said it like this. He said, wilt thou be made whole? Jesus was asking him, do you have faith enough to be healed today? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah to his name. Father, we just thank you for healing taking place right now. We thank you for strongholds being broken. We thank you for addictions being lifted. We thank you for anxiety being released with rejoicing. We thank you for prescriptions being released and replaced with well-being. We thank you for homes that are secured and children that are safe. And Father, even for those things that we may not yet see fully realized before us, those things that have not fully appeared, Father, we thank you for the faith to take them in and to believe you on your word. Father, we thank you for testimonies that we can stand on. We thank you for fellowship that we can lean on. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the power of the Holy Spirit to do what we cannot of our own. Father, we thank you. We just give glory to your name. Amen. Church, healing and help is in your home right now. Grasp onto it as you listen today. Amen. I was studying and I found myself in Luke chapter 10. And there we find an old Sunday school lesson. Some of you might be familiar with it. And in some Bibles, it even has a title printed there that you're probably familiar. It's titled The Good Samaritan. Amen. Maybe you're familiar with that. And if I just point out one verse that I got stuck on, one verse that just stayed there with me, it was verse 30. And I found there that it says, Jesus speaking, he says, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Amen. And I was trying to get to the Good Samaritan, but I was stuck here in verse 30 because I read it again. This certain man who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Amen. I'm studying and I'm just in this one verse and I'm seeing how it's talking about a certain man. And in this reference, it means a fellow Jew, a believer, a church member, a brother. And he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He's just on business. It's a common path that they would take, both for business and ritual. But it's also known even to this day to be notoriously dangerous. It says he fell among thieves. Amen. This is his testimony. Life brought him into a bad situation. He's surrounded by robbers, barbarous men, criminals, violent outcasts. This is the situation that he's in. And they said that these men, they stripped him, these thieves, they stripped him of his raiment. They steal his clothing and his goods and wounded him. They rob him physically. They physically assault him, leaving him in the ditch alone. It says they departed. Amen. No help nearby. They departed, and here he finds himself in the ditch. Alone. Finally, it says, leaving him half dead. Amen. They left him beaten, broken, death sitting at his door. And what I see is this man half dead and in need of healing. This man who's not even in a position for help. And so it may be that the Good Samaritan gets the title of the passage. But it's this man's tragedy and it's this man's pain that starts it all. In other words, it's this man's test that becomes a testimony for us, for all who would have faith to believe. Amen. And the message we have for all of us today, and the message God had for that half-dead man is this. Help and healing are on the way. Amen. Help and healing are on the way, and you need to declare that for someone who can't speak for themselves right now. You need to declare that for someone who might be in a hospital bed, someone who's being detained against their will, someone whose mind has them trapped in confusion. Glory to God, would you just speak that over them right now? Help and healing are on the way. Listen, even if you can't get to where they are, even if they're alone right now, would you just speak it in faith? Help and healing are on the way. And as we review this passage, I want you to identify with this certain man today. I want you to hear his testimony. I know the passage is titled The Good Samaritan, but I want you to reflect on that certain man, that half-dead man. Because if we're good students today, if we're good students, we're going to want to know why this man is in the middle of the whole story. If we're asking questions in the Word today, we might ask ourselves why Jesus points to him at this time. You know, when I read, and if you read the full section there in chapter 10 from verse 25 through 37, you find that there are other characters, some of which we've already spoken about. There's the certain lawyer. There's Jesus himself. There's our certain man, amen, a life whose life is being used by Jesus here. There's the thieves, the robbers, amen. There's a priest. There's a Levite, amen. There's our good Samaritan. There's even a host, an innkeeper. Amen. All of these played a part in the lesson God speaks to us. All of these we will review. Amen. So when we drop down to verse 25, we'll see it begins here with a question. It says, behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Amen. And Jesus, thinking this is a good question, he says, what is written in the law? He said, what is your reading of it? And so the attorney answers and says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Amen. And Jesus says to him, you answered rightly. Do this and you will live. And so this lawyer was testing Jesus, trying to be crafty in his speech. But for us, the question is helpful. Amen. Listen, especially in the middle of a pandemic, the question is relevant. When this life is over, how do I make heaven my home? What can I do? What can we do to inherit eternal life? Amen. And it's a helpful question, and we find it, verse 26, the answer is already written down. Amen. Verse 27, even if you're not a deep reader, the whole thing is summed up in less than 30 words. Amen. Jesus in verse 28, even validates the answer. If we're not sure if that's the right answer, if we're not sure if we need to study further, Jesus himself validates the answer, but then he also presents a charge. He says, do this and you will live. Amen. So we find the answer to eternal life. It says, love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, everything that's within you, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Do this and you will live. And these are good words for us today. But just like with the attorney, with the validation and the charge, now comes conviction. Amen. And we can find ourselves, when Jesus says, do this and you will live, we can find ourselves convicted the same as the attorney, because we have a realization that Jesus probably knows that what we speak and what we do is not always the same. Amen. Like a good attorney, when we review our own case file, we find that we may be falling short on this charge. In fact, we may have a major infraction. And so we, like the attorney, might also look for some justification. We might have some questions for Jesus, as he does in verse 29, when the attorney, wanting to justify himself, says to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Amen. Look at someone in your house. Hit somebody up in the chat room. Amen. Tell them that my testimony matters. Amen. Amen. Tell them your testimony matters. Now look at them again and point to them and say, your testimony matters. Amen. I told you that we were identifying with this certain man today. This man left half dead alone on the side of the road. And if God can use this man's testimony, then why not yours? Let's see who else was involved. Verse 30, Jesus answers and says again, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. We're introduced to these thieves, amen, these violent men, lawless, without concern for others. These robbers had no care for life, yet they're somehow tied into this testimony. We read further, it says, verse 31, now by chance a certain priest came down the road. And when he saw him, he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. And the priest perhaps not only just represents himself, but he may also represent the church, the people of God. And for this man in his testimony, when the church saw him in his pain, and it says that they saw him, it wouldn't have been so bad if they didn't see him, but it says they saw him and they passed by on the other side. Verse 32, we get the Levite. He's introduced. It says, likewise, the Levite, when he arrived at the place, came by the same pathway. Came and looked again, and he passes by on the other side. Amen. And perhaps this Levite, perhaps not just representing the church, but also representing law and order, those responsible for regulating the doctrine of God, those responsible, even in this moment, you thought they would have sought justice for the man, but no, even the Levite looks upon him and passes by on the other side. But here then, verse 33, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, giving them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. And Jesus asked, so which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And he said that this is the attorney answering. He says, he who showed mercy on him. And Jesus, again with the charge, says, go and do likewise. And so Jesus identifies the Samaritan and describes why he is the true neighbor. Amen. So. Differently than the others, the neighbor has compassion. He's filled with it. He sees the victim, not only in his physical place, but he sees him in the damage that he lies. His compassion not just is overwhelms him, but his compassion moves him then to bring healing, to bring it from a strange place. Strange because this certain man, this Jewish man, would not have expected it to come from this Samaritan. But the Samaritan comes close like a neighbor. His healing is in the touch and in the application of the oil. This Samaritan, this stranger, this foreigner, this true neighbor, he sacrifices. Even initially, he walks. He puts him on his animal and he walks while the victim rides. He gets to the inn and he pays out of his own pocket. Maybe the Samaritan was even going to stay longer at the inn in his original plan. But instead, he pays the price for this certain man, for this victim. And in case it's not enough, he even says, I'll be back to pay more. Amen. I read and I found the 2 denarii that he left could potentially cover 2 weeks of stay. Amen. And so all of these played a part in the lesson, the testimony that God speaks to us about this certain man. And I'm not sure where you might stand today. Amen. I've asked you to put your place yourself in the place of this certain man, this man who was beaten along the road, half dead and left alone. But listen, God didn't put this passage in here simply to highlight his tragedy, but he put it in there that we all might glean and take and be changed and transformed. It was not only to bring awareness to the plight of injustice that he suffered. It was not there to create fear of the barbarous acts of violent criminals. It was not there to highlight the negligence of the church shown through the priest. It's not just there to point out the Levite who's in charge of the law is breaking the law that he's there responsible for. It's not there even just to lift up the good virtue of the Samaritan. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've fallen short of God's expectation for us. No matter where we fall in this story, glory to God, the violent criminal no more at fault than the priest. The Samaritan no more virtuous than the Levite. Amen. Jesus compassionately sought to win the souls of all of these men. And if when we study this, we find wherever you are in the story, Jesus shares these words to let us know one thing. That there's a heavenly place where he resides and there's a room that he's reserved on our behalf. The certain lawyer, he can't justify himself, but God has a plan for him. The certain man, he couldn't save himself of his own, but God sent the healing. The thieves and the robbers, God's plan of repentance transforms the heart and even receives them into his fold. The priest, the church, God is letting us know that the church is not in the building. It's not in the place that we have to go, but rather the body of Christ resides in our heart. The Levite, just like Romans 10 and 4, Jesus Christ being the end of the law in our Good Samaritan, it's not his title or his good works that will get him into heaven. But it's his compassion in his heart that draws him to do as Jesus would do. Even the host, even the innkeeper, He's not just a bystander. He's not just someone out there in ministry, but even he must participate in the healing plan. Amen. God's so compassionate towards us that he sends help and healing even when we're in our sins, even while we're doing God wrong, even while we're testing him like the attorney, attacking him like the robber, negligent like the church, helpless like the victim, and not even ritually correct like the Samaritan. No matter where we stand, God loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus the Christ to sacrifice and make restitution on our behalf. You see, we're in the same half-dead situation that this man comes before us. But our hope is this. Our hope is in the answer that Jesus gave. Do this. Do the will of God. Do what he has instructed us to do. Believe on Jesus Christ whom he has sent, and you will be saved. If we live and live for Christ, seeking to walk in his image, then we will be blessed on all of our days on this earth. But if we die, glory to God, then the hope of glory is before us, set there as believers in Jesus. There is a room waiting for us in heaven. Peace, healing, love, joy, righteousness, fellowship, all waiting for us in our eternal home. So I'm begging you today, do you want to be healed? Glory to God. Or is it more important for you to be right? Are you debating the word of God like the attorney who tested Jesus? Are we looking for loopholes by asking Jesus questions that he's already answered in plain words? Healing is at hand. Help is at hand. The loving arms of Jesus are extended. The anointing oil is ready. The Spirit is moving, not just at the church, but even on the side of the road, even in your own home right now, even in your hospital bed, listen, even in your pain place, your half-dead space that you don't even talk to anyone about. Jesus is making a visit now. Glory to God. Without Jesus, each of us walks alive in this world, but dead in our spirit. We can have that knowledge that the attorney had, but without Jesus, we're still half dead. We can have the brute force of the robbers, but without Jesus, we're one fight from the grave. We can even have the ministry of the priest, but without Jesus, God might look the other way. We can find law and order like the Levite, but without Jesus, it will be the law that brings us to our own demise. We'll be on death row like dead men walking. We can even perform good works like the Samaritan. But without the compassion of Jesus, our works will not pay the bill for our own sin. But thanks be to God, hope and healing are on the way. Amen. You see, when we recognize the ditch that we're in, when we see ourselves half dead and from the abuse of this world, and when we can accept the offer that God has made to us through his son Jesus, then we can rise up in our healing. And even though it's been a long time in our infirmity, we are now made whole in an instant. Come on, let us pray. Father God, we need you in this moment. Send your helper, Send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, for we are weak without you. Lord, work in the hard places today. Search our hearts for the questions we hold to justify our own desires. Apply your word to our heart. Change us. Transform us. Heal us. Father, give us an understanding of your scripture and a testimony that will allow us to be neighbors one to another. Father, bless us to be ready, equipped, and in position for the harvest which is yours. Receive the new believer now with your free gift of salvation. We thank you and we bless you forevermore. Amen. I want to remind you this. God sees you in your pain right now. He loves you and he sees you in your pain. And Jesus has offered grace and forgiveness to all who would receive. God says that we've fallen short of his original purpose for us. And even though we've separated ourselves from him, God sent his son Jesus to pay the penalty for our fault. So right now, from your home or wherever you might be watching, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with the heart that you believe and it's with the mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Come on, if you're making that decision right now, call us. Email us, send a note through the website, hit us up, message us on social media that we may pray with you and connect with you and guide you through this Bible, which is life for us all. Come on, if you desire to have Jesus Christ in your heart, if you desire to make heaven your home, glory to God, then call, connect with us now. Hit us up in the chat room, glory to God. Let us know how we can reach you. Amen. Glory to God. God is celebrating you and he is speaking life over you now. Help and healing are on the way. Glory be to God. Father, we thank you today. We thank you, church. We thank you for being on this morning. We thank you for listening. We thank you for this continued desire to be in worship, desire to be in fellowship, desire to be connected to the body of Christ. We just thank all glory to God who have not left this work forsaken, who have not just left God alone, who have not pushed him aside waiting for a pandemic to be over. We just thank you. I just want you to know God is with you now. He's not forgotten you. He's not forsaken you. Glory be to God. Be with him. Stay with him now. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen. Help and healing is on the way. Amen. So right now we're going to move to our time of giving. An announcement followed by our benediction. There are three ways that you can worship through giving. You can give by text message, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256 and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, go to TAYLORTABERNACLE.com, giving, and follow the instructions. You can also give by U.S. mail. You could send a check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19139. And as always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry. I have a lot of announcements, so get your pen and your paper, everything you need so that you can keep track of what the instructions that I'll give out. The pastor and leadership team have decided to reopen the church next Sunday, October 18th. The live stream service will continue by Facebook and YouTube Live for those that choose to worship from your home.
The church is preparing with professional cleaning, additional hand sanitizer stations, socially distant seating, and other tasks. If you choose to attend, please prepare on your end to take your temperature before leaving home, wear a mask, and if you don't feel good or if you had contact with someone who had COVID, please stay home. The church van will not be in operation during the initial weeks of return to worship at the church, so keep that in mind when you plan your transportation accordingly. A set of guidelines was emailed to the congregation on October 6th. If you haven't received it, please check your spam or promotional folder, or if you still didn't get it or if you don't have email, you can send an email to info@taylortabernacle.com, or you can request by our phone line, 215-748-4578, and we will mail you a hard copy. For additional questions or concerns, please feel free to contact the reopening team, Sister Cassandra McCoy, Sister Shanita Scott, or Sister Zakia Price, or contact your watch care deacon. Please continue to pray for our safe and successful reopening. Friday night, prayer and Bible study, we're continuing by the church conference line. The church conference line number is 775-799-9141. And we have had just a great fellowship in the Lord as we just pour out in prayer. It's a great way just to tap in. Sometimes we can feel alone or lonely in this quarantine, but I just encourage us all just to tap in. Just call in Friday night at 7:30. Amen. On Saturday, October 24th, we'll be distributing healthcare gift bags to the community. Pastor Ford is asking for 10 men and 10 women to join him from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. to assemble and distribute 300 gift bags in the neighborhood. All gift bag assembly will take place outside in the backyard of the church, and a light lunch will be provided. Please contact Sister Marcy Abrams directly or by calling or emailing the church by our website to volunteer for this event. We would like to thank Rabbi David Strauss, David Edmond, and the Congregation of Mainline Reformed Temple for partnering with us for this event. Lastly, if you have a prayer request, we can't help if we don't know, so I just encourage everyone, if you have a prayer request, a specific need, someone in your family or friend, please visit our website, taylortabernacle.com, and go to our prayer request page or call the church at 215-748-4578 and leave a voicemail so we can respond to you. Remember to hit subscribe right there on the YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle, so that you're informed and up to date with all of our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address and we'll add you to the list. Thank you. And we're going to now have the benediction.
Amen. Amen. Friends and family, we thank you so much for joining us on today. We just pray the Lord be with you and continue to fight for you during this time. Amen. Come on, let us pray. Father, we just thank you. Glory to God for your word. We thank you for all of those who have been neighbors towards us, O Lord. Father, we thank you for all of those who have shown their love, shown their care, O God. Father, we thank you for all of those who did not have to do what they did for us, O God, but you sent them, O Lord, and you put compassion in their heart that they might see us. They might see us, O Lord. So, Father, with everything that you have taught us through that testimony, teach us again, give us the Holy Spirit that we might go out and do what you have spoken, that we might do it and that we might live. Father, we thank you and we bless you. Cover our homes throughout this week. This we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you all. Glory to God. We'll see you. Bye now.